CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, it's Friday. Yes, very exciting. Don't we love Friday?
It's beautiful.
You work all week to get to this day. The best.
It's about time.
Yes,
damn it.
Indeed. All right, so. Next week I'm away. I'm going to be in New York.
Ah, you're joining Sia.
Yes, Sia's actually flying into Washington. He left here yesterday, so he should be landing sometime now. And this is his first trip to America. He's very excited.
Oh,
very nice.
Away.
Okay, so what's happening? What's going on? What do we need to pay attention to this morning? There's so much on my mind. I've got a lot to talk about. First of all, I suppose I should introduce myself the way that all Democratic candidates in the United States now address themselves. Do you want to hear how that happens?
Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, it's very important that you do this properly. Otherwise, how will people know? This is how Democrats speak to each other.
Listen properly.
This is how left-wing liberals in America speak to each other, right? This is Kamala Harris introducing herself.
Good to see you, Senator.
On CNN.
Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
How are you?
How are you?
Anna. Thank you, guys. And my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
She, her, and her.
All right, and no one's laughing. Like, that should be a joke that you, if you are a woman and you're standing on a stage and you dress like a woman and you sound like a woman, that you should have to go, my pronouns are she, hers, and her.
And then now, you isolate half of your audience immediately.
Right, but not only that, it's just so bizarre to me that the Democrats, the left wing, and then, by the way, Chris Cuomo from CNN, listen to what he says after she's just said my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
And my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
She, her, and her.
How brave.
Mine too.
Mine too, says Chris Cuomo. So I suppose we should be calling him she from now on and her instead of
Christine.
Him and his. Yeah. Hmm. Isn't that just insanity? Imagine if I started the show every morning. Because, of course, the point that the far left are trying to make here is that you can be anything you want to be. And that's
absolutely.
Well, Gugu, you closed-minded right-wing bigot. Let me explain why that's wrong.
No, but a snake can't walk in here and say I'm an elephant
of a sudden. Oh, yes, it can. You can decide, and this is what's so bizarre about people who actually go for it. And you heard that audience. I mean, this is CNN's audience. And, you know, Donald Trump calls them fake news CNN, and they get a bad rap from the right in America. But you see why they deserve it. They pander to this shit. They really do. Now, here's the problem. I wake up this morning, and I'm a little mentally, yesterday we did World Mental Health Awareness Day, right? I'm a little mentally slippery.
Right.
And I wake up.
And you're aware of it, most importantly.
Well, right. Yeah, I know I've got, and most of these people at that extreme on the political spectrum admit, because they like being victims, so they admit they've got some kind of mental health issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wake up in the morning and they go, you know, I don't feel at home in my own body. Now, there are mornings, I'm sure, that all of us wake up feeling not terribly at home in our body. We might feel aches and pains and we go, that's not me. We might feel a bit weak. We might not feel comfortable because we feel like we've perhaps overeaten or we haven't done a lot of exercise.
It's having an off day.
Sure, and you feel like you're not at home in your body.
Right.
You know, you're disconnected from things. Now, a normal person, in inverted commas, because there's no such thing as normal really, would go, well, I just better get on with my day. I've got serious shit to do. I don't have time to be so self-indulgent that I'm going to spend my morning telling everyone what my gender is. And I've changed my mind about this being a man thing. From now on, I want you to call me her. But I'm going to carry on wearing pants, and I'm going to carry on having a cock. And I'm going to carry on talking in my deep voice. And
bastard.
I'm going to carry on like probably being interested in women rather than changing that. But I expect everyone else, without even asking me, to know that. And if you say that I'm not a woman, despite the fact that I'm growing a beard, you are a bigot and a transphobe.
Hmm.
And it's your fault if bad things happen to me during the day, because I have no locus of responsibility and it is not my problem to deal with your bigotry. You are the bad one. Today I'm a woman. And then the next day I could wake up and say I'm a giraffe and you have to believe me.
Unicorn, whatever.
And you have to, because otherwise you are a bad person, you have to go along with me and my fantasy.
Am I just old that I find that I can't accept that? Or
no. You're a bigot, like Garrett said.
Well, I mean, Gugu's, how old are you?
26.
Right, so you're obviously a young bigot.
Yeah, young bigot. I feel so bigotry right now.
But what is, I mean, like, honestly, this is such bullshit. And I cannot believe that we've got to a stage in human evolution where we take this stuff seriously. People who are attention seekers, because that's all they are.
Mentally ill.
I don't know. I mean, like, some people are, but some people are not. Some people, it's just, I don't believe that all these people have a condition. Gender dysphoria is what they call it. That's an actual condition that psychiatrists will tell you exists, but it is in the tiniest proportion of people on earth. Tiniest.
I think it's more like, the way I see it, it's more of a trend.
Of course it is. And lots of people are hopping on the bandwagon. And
stupid asses.
You know, it's like, sort of, if you decided, if everyone is dyeing their hair orange and purple and green, and you decided, you know, I'm going to try that. But for some people, it's that unimportant. You know that there's a problem right now in America.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've got an article that I'd like to point you to, and maybe we'll put it on the website to just link it to some of the discussions. Because, you know, now, after a few years of this transgender stuff, and people having done transgender reassignment surgery, or gender reassignment surgery, let me not be inaccurate. But there are a tidal wave, according to this article, it's from truthseeker.co.uk, which is a pretty reputable site. They're not one of these absolute bullshit sites. And this is interesting because they've been talking to Sky News and a number of really reputable, I mean, Sky News, you might not like their political bias, but they're a reputable news business, right? Listen to this. In the aftermath of media promotion of the transgender movement, many people now regret choosing a different gender and have begun detransitioning.
Yep, it's happening.
So what happens is, if you're a teenager and there's a lot of pressure on you and you feel like you're not fitting in, and maybe someone tells you, well, you know, you could be transgender, and let's say you agree with that. Let's say that's how you really feel, and then you go for an operation where they change your genitalia.
Save all for penis.
Well, I mean, let's not be completely callous about it. People go through this because they're feeling severe social pressures, or they feel like psychological problems are overwhelming for them and they need to change their gender, or it's a question of that's how they've always been inside and they don't feel that their body represents that. So they go for the surgery. Then they decide, I'm not happy with what I've done. And then it's really hard to go back.
Yeah, well, you're essentially mutilated at that point, because you've had your parts refashioned so many times, and it's a huge surgery. I mean, it involves the urethra. It involves internal organs.
Uh-huh.
It's not great.
There's no going back now.
But I think, like you say, it's a small minority of the population.
Yeah, it's a small group of lunatics. And, you know, this is the talking point. It really is. It's like crazy lunatics. It really is. So now Kamala Harris, you see, she goes on the stage, and now this audience of left-wingers, because it's probably in California or somewhere like that, where, you know, it's just out of control. Now they think she's very brave to say, my pronouns are. Now there is absolutely nothing interesting about that to anyone. What is the most interesting thing about you? If you use your gender, your race, your tribe as a descriptive term, you must be such a shallow person. There must be nothing else going on for you. If I said to you, what's your best characteristic? And you say to me, my sense of humor, that makes sense to me.
Mm.
Or you say, you know, I'm naughty, I'm cheeky, I make a lot of off-color comments. I'm humorous, I like to sing. Those are things that make you interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Not I'm a white South African with European background.
Yeah.
And a female.
Who cares?
Oh, yeah. Shallow.
Because I could probably pick that up just by looking at you.
Yeah.
You know, and by listening to you. So those are not interesting things. But to the left, this is major. So she goes out there and says, my pronouns are. She's just pandering for those. And those people are going to vote anyway for the Democrats. They're probably not going to vote for Kamala Harris. They're probably going to vote for Elizabeth Warren, who's even more insane. Listen to what she says yesterday. And I only found these this morning, and I thought, you know, am I living in a parallel universe where these are the issues? So Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren, you remember Donald Trump called her Pocahontas because she claimed to be Native American for all of her life, including having got jobs and having got places at university because she falsely claimed she was half Native American. She did a blood test, turned out, a DNA test, turned out that she is 1/25,000th Native American.
Wow.
And she's like, yes, but it's still something. Gugu and I have more Native American than Elizabeth Warren.
Exactly.
Anyway, listen to what she says here. She says Americans should have their hard-earned tax dollars go to pay for prison inmates to have transgender surgery. People in prison who are in prison because they've broken laws and turned their back on society, if they feel like going through transgender surgery for what ever reason, they just wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to do this, because a lot of people do, believe it or not. She says they're entitled. Entitled is the word to it. Listen to what she says.
So, Senator, quick follow. Speak to your evolution on this. In the 2012 campaign for Senate, you criticized a judge's ruling that granted transition-related surgery to a transgender inmate. You said, I don't think it's a good use of taxpayer dollars.
Right.
Do you regret that?
Yep. No, it's a bad answer. And I think it was a bad answer. And I believe that everyone is entitled to medical care and medical care that they need. And that includes people who are transgender, who it is the time for them to have gender-affirming surgery. I just think that's important. And the appropriate medical care.
She thinks that's important. That's important. Mm. You've got a country where you got, now we've got serious stuff going on, and Trump's made a terrible decision, which is going to have wide-ranging consequences. I know there are people on the right and left who disagree with me on this one, but he's made this terrible decision that he's going to pull out of Syria. He's not going to protect the Kurds anymore. And these serious international events are going on. And this woman is worried about the tiniest proportion of people. I mean, we're talking something like 0.08% of the total population of the United States.
Delinquents.
And here you have two Democratic presidential people who are standing for the highest office in the land, and they've made transgender stuff, because that's the most woke leftist stuff at the moment. You know, race and gender used to be. Then that became less so. Then it became about transgender, which proves that you're really on the far left. And here's Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren battling over the ground on the far left about transgender. There are 0.08% of the population that are transgender, and these people are pandering to all those people who think that's great because they're virtue signaling losers. It's just like I honestly had to, because I was watching this stuff this morning getting ready for the show, and I thought I got to be living in bizarro world. This can't be. This is in Los Angeles, so I was right. It was in California, and it's just absolutely mind-boggling that this is the stuff that's keeping people on the left busy, when real problems and real issues exist for most people in the world, let alone America.
Yeah.
Heavy, Zalian.
So I just needed to get that off my chest. We'll get into more fun stuff in a moment. Morning, Gareth. Morning, Miss Mole. Very nice.
Oh,
very
hello.
Formal. And Gugu. Wait, if prisoners are allowed transgender, does that mean they move to now female? Yes, correct.
Well, that's okay. So this is really a bit immature, but comparing it to Orange is the New Black, the series, because that's the first time I actually thought about transgenderism in prisons. And I do think that there are already transgender people, so men who've become women, who are in these prisons, and they require hormones.
Yeah.
To continue living like they are. Otherwise, they will literally turn back into men in terms of their hormones,
correct,
facial hair. They become something else. So that's important. And if that's medical care for transgender people, then I agree with it. But there are people who are males, who are in a male prison, who are tired of being raped and being prison bitches, who will elect to have the surgery just to get out of it, especially if they're in there for life.
Now, you imagine paying your taxes as a let's say you're a middle class business owner in the state of Missouri, for example, and you pay hard earned tax money to a government that then takes that money and gives it to this person you just described.
Delinquent. Oh.
It absolutely boggles the mind. So the Democratic candidates are unelectable This is a message from Sean. It says, "This is why Trump will win again, and I'm laughing my ass off. I hated Trump in 2016. I love him now because of the virtue signaling and PC culture. Chris Cuomo's pronouns is and always will be Fredo." Oh, they call him Fredo. You know the Godfather, the movie The Godfather?
Yes.
Fredo was the dumb brother.
Oh, okay.
So Don Corleone had, I think there were more, but there were two sons. There's Michael, who was the brilliant son who took over. That was Al Pacino's character. Mm. And then there was Fredo, who was this dumb, like mentally kind of
challenged.
A little challenged, and he wasn't, and people made fun of him. And Fredo was like this unhinged dude. So they call Chris Cuomo Fredo because he's of his brothers. They're three Cuomos, and Chris Cuomo is the dumbest one. He's got the job on CNN. So yeah, I think you're spot on there, Sean. It's just fascinating to me. I mean, this PC culture, and you know, we've got a little bit of it in this country. Obviously, we've got much more pressing issues in some ways. The Eastern Cape, by the way, places like Graaf Reinet, they just don't have water at the moment. You know that. Mm-mm. The dams have dried up. There is nothing. The boreholes have dried up. People are going to have to rely, and already are in most places, relying on trucks with water tanks on them to come in.
They're only at the start of their dry season.
Yeah. Now, sure. Can you imagine going to those people and say, "I know that you guys are thirsty, and I know you haven't washed for 6 weeks because you have no water. No water. Zero. Mm. You open the taps, nothing comes out. But I need to redirect some funds." Imagine telling them to give transgender people in prison a chance to have gender reassignment surgery. You would be attacked with stones and sticks and cudgels and knives by those people.
Bricks and rocks.
Yeah. Oh,
and flames.
And flagpoles and rakes.
And water cannon and
pitchforks.
Not water cannon. They don't have those.
There's no water.
Yeah,
pitchforks and spades and secateurs.
Electrocution.
Yes. Possibly also microphone stands.
Feces. Yep.
Feces, yeah.
Scissors.
Yeah.
Shears.
Shears.
Blades.
You know, okay, I think we get the idea.
Yeah. Imagine paying for a prisoner to maintain his hormonal vibes.
Yeah. Well, this is what people do. There was Sonny as well. That was the brother who was killed at the toll gate. Yes, Sonny, Michael, and Fredo.
And sure.
Yes, Don Corleone's three sons. Thank you very much for sorting that out for me. I'm so pleased that I have brilliant people listening to me. You know, when we were on radio, Leanne, do you remember how many people I'd cut off?
Because
they were stupid.
It was certainly a different audience back then.
Tony says, you got three of the Corleone brothers, and some other people pitching in here as well. "I did my DNA testing at the NHLS, if that's to be believed. I also have Native American genes." You see? More than probably, and this is from Fatima, she says, "Native American genes, that's probably more than Elizabeth Warren has." Spot on. So here's an interesting question on this, because I know that we don't do politics on a Friday, but this is more like a crazy social issue. And frankly, I do find most of it hilarious, because a lot of these people who are in the transgender community are real, you know, people with real issues, and they've got like gender, as I said, there's this condition called gender dysphoria, but there might also be people who really feel that way, and we need to figure out with them how they fit into society.
No, I mean, they're also,
I don't think, no one should be hurt, no one should be targeted, no one should be victimized.
Yeah, I mean, from a medical standpoint, there are some people who are born either male or female and don't realize until they hit puberty that they're actually the other sex. They have the other internal organs.
Yes. Yeah, those I can understand.
And there are people also who have both sets of organs. Hermaphrodite.
Correct.
is the scientific term for it. And those people obviously go through a struggle in their life. And I am sympathetic to that.
Mm.
Just like, you know, anyone who's born with any kind of disability, I am sympathetic to that. And I'm by no means equating disability and transgender situations, because they are not the same. But then there are also these guys who take the piss. There's like a guy with a beard and he's wearing a dress and he insists on going into the women's bathroom. And
dude,
like, you just know that those women in that who use that bathroom are so uncomfortable with this big bearded man walking in there and standing pissing up, standing up pissing. I mean, that is just so unfair to those women who use that bathroom. And I don't think this is an issue that should get anyone riled up. Anyone. You know, we've met people in the studio who are transgender. I have had very interesting, illuminating and sometimes controversial conversations with them. Treat each other like equals. You treat each other like humans. You have a conversation around these things. And you learn some things and I learn some things. And we don't have to argue about it. And it's none of my business what you do with your body. It's none of my business what you consider yourself to be, a man or a woman. But the minute you start to impose that stuff on the rest of society.
Agreed.
It's just not on. It's like if you decide that you are only wearing purple, that's absolutely fine. But you don't get to walk into the office and tell everyone else in the office they have to wear purple too.
Or they must now call you a giraffe.
Well, yeah, there's a limit to this. And, you know, these people also don't want any science that in some way contradicts their position. So if, for example, we discover, as this article that I just read, which I will post for you later, that so many people are now having regrets over transitioning. And this, there's CBN News, there's Sky News, they refer to a lot of the Detransition Advocacy Network. Is actually a charity that started to support people who have decided not to transition or have stopped transitioning. Sometimes parents allow their kids to do this at a very young age, which is so dangerous too. Because the kids can sometimes be confused, you know? Sometimes it's not a gender issue, it's a sexuality issue. And it's sometimes easier for some kids to fit in if they tell people they're actually a woman rather than admit that they're gay, for example.
So, I mean, every teenager has angst and a crisis growing up where you're trying to find yourself and figure out who you are. However, when I think about the time that I grew up, the options were pretty limited compared to now. You can either be a goth or a political extremist or, I don't know, be a complete nerd, a science nerd. You could choose out of those. But changing sexes wasn't one of them. It just wasn't on the cards. Anyway. And now it is. It's like, well, maybe Finn is a unicorn.
There we go. Here's an interesting thing from Chris. Chris says, this discussion has got you riled up. 30 minutes talking about it now. Boring. All right, well, Chris, you can go and listen to something else. You're more than welcome. I do not come in here every day just to please you, Chris. We've got a bunch of people. And if this is the thing that's on my mind this morning, I'm going to share it with you. You are welcome to listen to a plethora of boring radio stations that are going to play you the same song across all of them. And they're all going to tell you the same news stories. And they're all going to give you the same boring opinions and things. And they're going to be as uncontroversial as possible. Sounds like that might be more up your street, Chris. I can't help you. Your time with us is over. Sorry, let's all give Chris a
moment.
Chris,
I love you. Don't leave.
Bye-bye, Chris.
Thanks. I love you, Chris.
There he goes. All right, good. On the streets, do people really give a damn? One thing I've learned from living in London is mind your own business. If you look at the crazy people for too long, you will get a reaction. That's a good point.
Or you might pick up some of the crazy.
That's from Jay. No politics Fridays, more toilet talk. Well, do we have some stories? I walked into the men's toilet. Here's an update.
Where?
It was Wednesday morning.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what magic Jane...
No, I said we're here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what magic Jane had wrought in there, but it smelt heavenly.
Like roses, right?
I've never had a good experience in that toilet. Uh-huh. I usually get in and get out as quickly as I can.
Uh-huh.
Because someone has taken a revolting mercenary dump.
Hello, Gord.
Some people have, you know, they've washed their hands, but they've left soap all over the basin. You know what I mean.
I've seen it. It looks like shit.
Poor Jane has to go in there and sort that out. But I walked in the other day. I don't know if it was pristine because it had just been cleaned and no one had been in yet.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I said to Jane, I skipped out of there. And I said to her,
with flowers in your trail.
Very special. Very special.
Wait, talking about toilets, I was chatting to Leanne this morning about tripe. I said, Leanne, have you ever eaten tripe?
Oh,
or sheep's head.
We were going to address this, and we've got a minute or two. So yes, what do you have to say about that?
I have smelt tripe, and
when it's cooking,
it makes me gag, and that makes me know that I'm not going to be able to put it in my mouth or swallow it.
And you've never ever tried it.
You know what? There's tripe in everything. There's tripe in sausages. I've probably had it.
No, I mean tripe, like towel.
No, because if you smelt something really bad, like a poo on a plate. And you were gagging already. Would you be able to put that in your mouth?
It's usually a sign. It's usually a sign you shouldn't eat it.
So I can't. I can't do the smell. I can't do the look of it.
What does the smell remind you of?
Like a person who's been on tick, who's taken a dump.
So offended, Leanne.
I was...
You?
I was on holiday once, and there was someone in the flat next door, because we were at the coast, who was cooking tripe.
Mm.
And, I mean, Pinky and you and I were talking about this yesterday. Cooking it, it smells horrific.
It's eye-wateringly bad.
Tripe is amazing,
it actually
guys.
Does make you gag. Well, you're welcome to it. It's what? Like some people eat brains.
Uh-huh.
Some people like to eat chicken feet. Some people like to eat tofu. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't even like pork, frankly.
As a-
so... You do you, Gugu.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a judgment on all people who've ever eaten or cooked tripe. I don't mind if you do what
do you,
you do.
Do you eat sushi, raw fish?
I have, but doesn't excite me.
Mm.
Doesn't do
I
much
I love
to me.
Sushi, but I can't eat, for example, crab.
You feel, you feel like you're going to start walking sideways.
I just don't like the taste and the crunchy bits. And you know, it's not for me.
Yeah.
You like crab.
Mm.
Huh?
So
someone
much.
Offered me on Wednesday... crab caviar. Have you ever had
yes.
that?
Yes.
Can't. I said no straight away. Again.
The new thing is snail caviar.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Do snails lay little eggs?
They do. They actually shoot them out like
ping pong balls. In a Bangkok
and
nightclub.
And they're quite big, yeah.
From the vagina of a stripper.
Yeah. And all they're right. hermaphrodites, so they all just mate and shoot, and it's like an orgy at the same
Jesus,
time.
I had no idea they were so exciting. All right, Candace says, Gord clearly hadn't been in the toilet before you, otherwise it would have smelt like roses.
Sure.
Yeah, that was a good point. Regarding this transgender conversation, and this is from Clayton, their contradiction in using social science to confirm their mental mindset but ignoring biological science that says otherwise proves there's a problem. Absolutely. Then someone disagreeing with Chris. This is Michelle. She says, shut up, Chris. We're having a great discussion here. Yeah, don't go and knock him too hard now. He's probably listening to something really
Carrot's
dreary.
Already laid into him. Leave him alone.
I've handled it.
No,
leave Chris alone.
Damn it.
And then there's, of course, this discussion around what will happen to women's sport in a world where transgender men, who used to be men and now women, transgender women, I think you call them, are
men.
Dominating all the sports where there's a strength advantage.
I think there should be a scale.
Slippery slope. This.
There should be a scale. It should not be all male or all female. You should perhaps be tested on your hormones and your bodily functions, your strengths and weaknesses. And put into various categories.
Well, here's something useful. This is from Letukolo, who says, what do you think about people who prefer to be referred to as they? Well, again, it's just, this is all made up. Oh, Chris is back. You want to hear from Chris?
Uh-huh.
I am.
Okay, here we go. So Chris says, you were moaning about other people getting riled up and don't even realize that you're jumping on the bandwagon and getting riled up yourself.
You did.
Chris, I know. Carl says, leave Chris alone.
Leave Chris alone.
It's become a whole thing.
Yeah,
all right,
Chris,
so,
Chris, stay.
Gugu's obviously a fan. All right, so Chris, there's still space for you, but don't come to me if you need anything. All right, let's get into some news stories.
Yes.
First of all, this is a big story from yesterday, and a lot of people are talking about it because I suppose it's nice to know that somebody is stopping the Guptas. It turns out the U.S. Treasury has announced sanctions against the controversial Gupta family and their associate Salim Essa. I know we do No Politics Friday, but this is a great story. The Guptas and Essa have used their influence with prominent politicians and parties to line their pockets with ill-gotten gains, said the U.S. Treasury Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence. The Gupta family leveraged its political connections to engage in widespread corruption and bribery, capture government contracts, and misappropriate state assets. Well, isn't it embarrassing that we had to wait for the U.S. Treasury to do something to the Guptas?
Mm.
That all of our...
All this time.
All of our law, all of our systems, all of our institutions have to date not made the Guptas pay a cent. No one's gone to jail. We sit with huge debts. We sit with an economy that is broken as a result of, among other things, it's not the only reason, these people and their corruption. And let's just remember, it's not the Guptas that are the problem here. I believe that the ANC needs to take their share of responsibility here because they made
the enablers.
They made it possible for the Guptas to get their dirty hands into all of our state-owned enterprises. So I think that the American government should actually sanction the ANC as a political party as well. And so should every other government in the world that doesn't believe in corruption. If you believe in corruption, sure, you can deal with them. But it is interesting that according to Minister of Justice and Correctional Services Ronald Lamola, South African law enforcement agencies have issued mutual legal assistance requests to 8 countries around the world, including the US, for blacklisting the controversial family. Well, wouldn't it be nice if our own government did something about the Guptas? No, we'll wait for the US to do it. See, again, if you want something done, ask Donald Trump. Jesus, I mean, how embarrassing that our own government, we're the country affected by this, right? This is amazing. A Sandton fuel station has begun paying off its multi-million rand water bill that it owes to the city of Joburg. The station was bussed last week by members of Operation Buyamteto after the city had received a tip-off that the owners of the property were illegally connected to the water supply.
Oh.
What?
The filling station owes the city 13 million rand.
Oh, no.
On Wednesday, the company paid off 3 million of its debt, so it knows it's responsible. Member of the Mayoral Committee for Finance, Funzela Ngobeni, said on Thursday he was pleased with the latest development. Yesterday, the city received an initial payment towards that debt with another tranche of 3 million expected to be paid on November the 7th. We've advised the owners of the filling station to sign an acknowledgement of debt to the city to pay off the balance. I want to know where.
Water.
Why don't they tell us where this filling station is?
Maybe because people will loot them
somewhere
and be really angry.
It's somewhere in Sandton, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a fuel station that has a 13 million rand bill. Do you know how much water?
But it's not that. It's the interest.
Oh.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I have a confession to make.
Okay.
Oh. I've got another confession to make.
It's very hard for me to do, by the way.
Okay.
It's been weighing on me very heavily.
Uh-oh.
So when I was renting my house before I bought it. And when I bought it, it was at a time when my mom was in ICU for a year. It was a quick buy. It was just
you
get
just
this
moved
done.
Up from the Cape.
Yeah, it was. This woman needed to sell desperately, and I needed to move out, and I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So quickly got this sorted out and bought it. Got the cash and bought it, right? But I still owe the money, but yes. I had forgotten because I hadn't seen one in so long because she was handling it all, my landlord at the time, my water bill.
Uh-oh.
I was on prepaid electricity.
So you thought,
so that was running fine.
So you didn't even know you had
Yeah, I was just kind of oblivious to it. And this went on for a few months where life took over and things were more important. And suddenly I realized, jeepers, I haven't received a water bill in months since I bought the house. Went online, had a look, and it was sitting at 20,000 rand. Now, the thing is, the interest is crazy. Before I've even been able to sort that out, it is now at 90,000 rand.
Yes.
No way. No, okay. But that's criminal. You can't put interest rates like that on people. That's crazy.
It's now at 90,000 rand. It grows.
But you can't pay that.
All the time.
I couldn't.
So
I couldn't pay that. I couldn't pay that. Google couldn't pay
that. I can't pay that.
We'd be locked up.
I tried over months to get hold of City Water and to work out a payment plan because I heard that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Could I get that done? No. Being cut off, being sent to the wrong people. I searched online, couldn't get hold of these people. Eventually, the debt collectors called me and I said to them, thank you for calling me because this is the only way I've been able to sort this out.
Mm-hmm.
They said, right, we need to work out a payment plan. You need to pay a third of it immediately. That's 30,000 rand.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest you pay the interest over months plus your normal water bill.
But what's the, do you know what the percentage is for the interest that they're charging? Because that sounds sounds extortionate. You know, you're not allowed, according to the Credit Act, you're not allowed to charge a certain amount of interest. And if you charge over that, you're actually, they can forgive the debt completely. So you must just check that out, because if they're charging exorbitant interest rates for the debt that you have on this water, and really, you know, water doesn't cost a lot by comparison with electricity.
My usage
example.
Is very low.
Yeah.
It's just the interest that's pumped it up. So anyway, I'm paying my 30,000 rand deposit the 14th of this month.
Oh my God.
Mm. That's heavy.
That's a heavy, heavy toll.
And I'm already a month late with
Where did
it.
You go to find out that you had this debt? What's the website?
The debt collectors called me.
No. But I mean, how did you know?
Oh, just looking at my statements.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I haven't been getting statements. I actually went on 3 days ago and I paid my rates and taxes, but I just put in like a random amount just so that they would know I was aware that they haven't, but they haven't sent me a bill. So I don't know how you're meant to comply with the law in a country where clearly the municipalities don't know what they're doing. I'm talking to you, Herman Mashaba, and Stevens Mokgalapa. You are the guys who should be in charge of this. You DA people that supposedly were running things better than the ANC. At least with the ANC, I was getting my bills.
So anyway, I've been threatened now that I'll be cut off. And apparently, once you're cut off, it's really difficult to reinstate. Mm. And also, I have a tenant on my property who relies on me and my gardener who lives on the property.
This is classic extortion.
It's really scary.
It's no different to a mob boss coming and holding a gun to your head and saying, if you don't pay me protection money, I'll kill you. I won't let you
do
it.
But the thing
business.
Is, I understand that I defaulted and I owe them the money. But you have a point. The interest rates might be exorbitant.
No, it's crazy. You can't be expected to pay those insane interest rates. It's insane. It's usury.
It's crazy.
Anyway, a man who is accused of robbing a Mossel Bay teenager, Michaela Boyson, for her black Nike tackies and bludgeoning her to death with a pickaxe handle.
Jesus.
Beautiful. What a great human being this must be. Appeared in the Mossel Bay Magistrates Court on Thursday. Vusmuzi Mafuduka, who's 21. 21 years old.
Dude.
He is facing charges of robbery and murder. The case against him was postponed to Monday for a possible bail application. This poor girl, 17 years old, was killed in the early hours of Sunday morning when, according to a preliminary investigation, she and her boyfriend were accosted by three suspects.
No, how did
they allegedly demanded their belongings, led to a scuffle. She was hit over the head and died of a head injury at the scene. Her boyfriend, 17, escaped uninjured and was later found distraught and extremely traumatized.
Oh my God.
These three suspects were arrested, but two were subsequently released due to insufficient evidence. I don't even know what to say.
Anyway.
You know, we were talking yesterday about the kind of animals that do this stuff. And then, you know, as if it isn't bad enough that we have students in schools stabbing each other with scissors, which we discussed yesterday too. Reports of sexual abuse by teachers rose more than 230% since 2014.
200%.
According to Eyewitness News, most of the offenders were aged between 45 and 54. So these are older men having sex with young girls.
With children.
In their teens at school.
This world.
This world we live in is a sick place.
Most incidents were committed by, guess which teachers? Language ones or phys ed or
L.O.?
Maths?
I don't know.
Sex ed?
Which ones do you think are doing
sex
most?
Sex ed.
No, it's not life orientation.
It's not the life orientation
PE.
Teachers. It's not the PE teachers.
Woodwork.
No.
Woodwork.
So many. Woodwork. No. It's actually maths and science teachers, according
to
this. Yeah.
The geeks are sick.
Because they spend more time with learners, even for afternoon classes.
Oh, I see.
The most common transgression in the Western Cape is corporal punishment and assault, followed by improper conduct. So those, you can't call corporal punishment a sexual assault, but it is some kind of assault because the law doesn't allow people to be punished in that way. In a recent case, a teacher in training at a school in Oranje, which is a whites-only town in the Northern Cape, was accused of statutory rape for allegedly having sex with a minor. So for those people who were going, but it's only in the black schools. Look, there's an Oranje, which is all white, and this is what's happening. So it happens everywhere, but there's something wrong with us as a society if we have teachers who are doing this. It's just crazy.
Oh, man.
It's crazy.
Cray.
Anything good in there?
Well, okay. I mean, they did raid Zandile Gumede's house yesterday.
Yes.
Hilarious. So we can maybe get into that. But I don't know. No, I don't know if that's worth referring to. Anyway, those are the news stories. We'll just leave it at that for now. It's enough to chew on if you have a hankering for news this morning. And I just got an update. Chris is thrilled that we've moved on.
Okay.
Thrilled. Miss Moll, with those amounts, you got to get a lawyer.
Ah.
That's a good idea.
I actually, a friend of mine said to me she knows someone who can help in this regard.
I think you should talk to her. Don't talk to me. Talk to my lawyer. That's right.
That could have been you, Gareth, but you're here.
Uh-huh. So once disconnected, it is very hard to reinstate. That's why the service station in Sandton illegally connected. That's from Brenda.
All right.
That's a good point, too.
Gee, well, then I might need some tips.
And here's an interesting point from Eddie. He says, have you been to Orania? No, I haven't, Eddie, and I don't know a huge amount about it, but I have heard both very, very good things and, of course, some mainstream media nonsense about what a bad place it is. Seems to function. It's in a really desolate part of the country, and there are people there who are putting together a nice life for themselves. So I have no problem with Orania. But it is interesting that this story came up and Orania features in it. That's the only reason I brought it up. Corporal punishment is only sexual assault if the kid enjoys it, says Carl. Oh, God. And then someone says...
No, that's just so, that's off the radar.
Someone says that... You know, yesterday we talked about Ellen DeGeneres, who is in trouble because she's friends with George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. And someone said, why is everyone shocked that Ellen DeGeneres likes Bush? All right, so a couple of things that we need to think about today. What can you tell us about Orania? I've just said to you, I don't know enough about Orania, Eddie, but maybe we should get someone in to talk to us about it and how it works. And there are people I know who've been there. Maybe I should
ask
them.
Am I allowed to go there, guys?
I think you can visit. I don't think they're not going to stop you, but...
I'm not going to feel comfortable.
I don't think you're going to. I don't think you'll love it, Gugu. Yeah. I've just got a suspicion.
I don't have an interest.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But that Ellen DeGeneres drama has escalated.
Oh, you're joking. Uh-huh. It's carried on?
Yeah.
I thought it was done.
No, not done. And remember, she went on TV and said...
Yeah, she said, George W. Bush is my friend, and I can choose whatever friends I like, and I don't have to agree with my friends.
People don't have to think the same way that I do. Be kind to everyone.
Right.
Okay, so a lot of stars have come out in support of her and fellow celebrities. Reese Witherspoon, who's her friend. Kendall
Jenner. And what about Reese with a fork?
Yeah, her as well.
And what about Reese with a knife?
Yeah, them as well. Jamie Foxx, Jennifer Garner, Orlando Bloom, Lenny Kravitz, they've all stepped in and said, this is really ridiculous. Some people are saying Ellen killed people with kindness, Bush killed people with torture and bombs, friends till the end. With
some
love.
People can't let go, hey?
Yeah.
It's not your friend. Let me just remind you, if you're one of those people who's really upset about Ellen DeGeneres being friends with former President George W. Bush, you're not involved. George W. Bush wouldn't want to be your friend, and neither would Ellen.
If George Bush killed 1 million white women, I don't think Ellen would be talking about her friend.
Really?
But since it's 1 million dead Iraqis and Afghans, no big deal.
Really? Really, that's what keeps you up at night, that Ellen DeGeneres has a friendship with George W. Bush.
I mean, come on.
I mean, former President Nelson Mandela, who's probably about as close as you get to a living saint during his lifetime, right? Mm-hmm. He was friends with some pretty nefarious characters like Muammar Gaddafi and Yasser Arafat, people like that. He was friends with probably a lot of other people that I might not love as my friends. But that doesn't mean I don't have to respect and be friendly with someone of the like of Nelson Mandela. Imagine the arrogance of waking up in the morning and thinking, well, I'm so virtuous and pure as the driven snow. I would never be friends with a criminal like George W. Bush. Well, good for you.
Why don't Cindy.
You get back up on your cross?
Damn it.
You're better than me. If I had, and I said this 1 million times, you remember, Leanne.
Yeah.
If I had the chance to find and marry either of George W. Bush's daughters, I would have done it in a heartbeat.
Huh.
I would have loved that guy as a father-in-law. So how about that? Ellen DeGeneres just wants to be his friend. I would love him to be my father-in-law. Turn your hate to me. Bring it on, bitches.
Well, Mark Ruffalo, is that how you say his surname? The actor would have said, sorry, until George W. Bush is brought to justice for the crimes of the Iraq War, including American-led torture, Iraqi deaths and displacement, the deep scars, emotional and otherwise, inflicted on our military that served his folly,
Jesus.
We can't even begin to talk about kindness.
Mark Ruffalo played the Hulk. Why are we getting... Why are we getting conscience training from Mark Ruffalo? You're the Hulk. Shut the fuck up, Hulk.
Go destroy shit
Hulk
somewhere.
Hulk, break something.
Damn it.
Hulk, not political commentator.
Jeez.
Hulk.
This is you. You're most famous for playing the Hulk, and you're going to climb onto this bandwagon? Oh, my God. Who the hell's Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, what is that anyway?
A Ruffalo is a buffalo that has a speech impediment.
Really. It's a rough buffalo.
Oh, man.
And by the way, Vern makes such a good point. Thank you, Vern. Vern has been listening to us all morning. He can't believe the nonsense we're talking. But he says, if you don't like George W. Bush, then don't be friends with him.
Right.
Stop judging other people for being friends with him.
How about you just let people be friends with whoever they want to be friends with, and you stop trying to tell everyone else in the world what to do?
I feel like because of like the internet and social media, every snake out there feels like they have an opinion.
Thank you.
On everything.
Thank you.
Just mind your own business.
Someone with 110 followers on Instagram suddenly is busy moralizing about what we should all do. It's great.
Those things used to be, we'd never hear those things. They'd be said around a family dinner table.
We'd never have heard Mark Ruffalo's opinion on anything until 2019.
Unless he was in a junket for his next Hulk movie.
I reckon the good news is, though, that in 20 years' time, not a person on earth will remember Mark Ruffalo. The only time you'll think about him again is one day when at the Oscars they go through that in memoriam and they play the sad music and they show a picture of him when he played the Hulk. And they say he died alone in a Los Angeles hospital with multiple catheters inserted into his penis.
Oh, dear.
And we'll all go, oh, I remember Mark Ruffalo. That'll be the next time you hear from him after this. Don't worry. And what George W. Bush? Well, he'll go down as a president of the United States. Not everybody's favorite, but Ellen's friend. Ruffalo is, by the way, Ruffalo, according to someone, is how Scooby-Doo would pronounce buffalo.
Ruffalo. Ruffalo.
Very good. Have you guys played Boot Fighter yet? Boot Fighter is Gord Laws' game.
Boot Fighter.
Boot Fighter came out this week. Uh-huh. That's why Gord wasn't here. He was exhausted. Right. You know, he can only do one thing a day.
Right.
And he's going to tell us about it in the next week or two, and I haven't played it yet, but I will.
Very good.
Are you like a gamer and stuff, Gareth?
I'm not.
Neither am I.
Is it an app?
Yeah, I think you'd play it on your phone, but they've actually got an arcade version, like the old school Double Dragon and everything. So we'll ask Gord. We'll get him in here and talk to him about it. Okay, just quickly a few messages. Jackie was friends with Agliotti. It was bad. Can't justify that. Yeah, that's Jackie Celebi, who was friends with Glenn Agliotti. Yes, precisely. Some people choose bad friends, but then in some cases they are also bad people, like Jackie. And I've been to Aranya. This is from Jay. Jay says, I've been to Aranya a few times. Most of the time it resembles a ghost town. There is a quaint little nut farm near the river. On the streets, do people really give a damn? No. That's a good point. You know, I haven't, but maybe I should go and check it out because people want to know. And I'm curious too, quite frankly. All right. Well, very exciting. Ben makes his triumphant return to the show this week.
Oh, hey, Ben!
A lot of people are extremely excited about Ben coming back. The messages have been flooding in all week, and Ben will join us just after 7. So we can get to grips with all the updates from him. He's been very, very busy, and he will be keeping you company next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and Friday.
Gurek,
and Leanne will be here Monday and Friday, and Pumi will be here Tuesday, and Canton will be here Thursday, so it's going to be a hell of a week.
Wait, what about me?
Google, you'll be here all week.
Okay, given.
Good.
Given Google.
Google's taken over the roles of both Sia. The roles of Sia and Google will be played by Google this morning. You remember on the soap operas they used to do that?
Oh, no. I just remember that reminded me of listening to a Cape Town classic radio station. Mm-hmm. And he said, and that was Chopin's 24/7. And now it's time for the news. News will be read by, and then he says his name. And then he goes, hello, I'm, and says his name. 7 people have been killed in a car accident.
Oh, that's beautiful. What a lunatic. All right, lots of things also on the agenda in terms of stuff that everybody's talking about this week, and we'll get into some of the plans for the weekend, which some people have. Leanne has always got plans. She's got things lined up, left, right, and center.
Yeah, sure.
Of course you do.
No pressure.
I saw you were out last night.
Yes.
Don't give me that. You were at the Whippet.
Yes. Ooh.
You were having a party. She was posting pictures.
Really?
This, well, yeah, you must follow Leanne.
I need to follow.
Posting
her.
Pictures of all these women with trays of food and drinks and all kinds of shit.
Living the best life.
Mm,
yeah.
Look at you.
That's the Whippet that's opened in Melville in my parents' building.
You're socializing.
And they have a rooftop farm.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Which is very cool. It's like hydroponics.
Yes.
Growing. There's no soil in the ground. It's
weed,
on the rooftop.
Right? They're growing weed, right?
Yeah, it's weed.
They're growing weed.
Baby gem lettuce and weed and rockets and weed and tomatoes. It's
and
just
weed.
Really fascinating. Oh. And the water bill, speaking of which, for that garden on the rooftop, which is huge.
Is zero.
R200
Gee,
a month.
That's, you see, you could learn from them.
Oh. I could learn from them.
All right, we'll come back with Ben. Makes a triumphant return next. Cliffcentral.com.
Away.
Just before 7 o'clock. Friday.
Cliffcentral.com.